The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
$1 billion in debt.
But let me pick up on this, because when you talk about, you know, we need to stop spending money overseas and spend it at home, that sounds more like a liberal Democrat. And the question I have is, you talk about the mess, your words, that Bush and Obama and Clinton have made in the Middle East, interventions in Iraq and Libya. It almost sounds like you would be, as a general election candidate, you would be criticizing Hillary Clinton from the left, that we should be less intervening in the rest of the world.
I want to rebuild our country. I want to rebuild our military, make it bigger, better, stronger than ever before. I want to take care of our vets. We have to handle education. We have to get rid of Obamacare. You know, our education system is a disaster, and we got to get rid of Common Core, which is just absolutely no good.
Would it be fair to say that Hillary Clinton will be the hawk in this race?
We have so many things to do with our country. We can't have this anymore. We are spending all of our money in the Middle East. We're spending numbers that are crazy.
So, Mr. Trump,
on top of that, we're defending the world. We're the policemen to the world.
Would it be fair to say
this country can't afford to do it?
Would it be fair to say that Hillary Clinton will be the hawk in this race and you'll be the dove?
No, I'll tell you what. I'll be much tougher than her. I will have much more respect than her from foreign countries. In fact, I read today where they're very concerned with me. They feel I'm very strong, very tough, and they're very concerned. So that's a little opposite of what you're telling me. That's a psychological thing, which frankly is good. Let them be a little concerned. Look, we're defending Germany. We're defending Japan, South Korea. We're defending Saudi Arabia with all of that money. And we're not getting properly reimbursed. We don't have any money, and we're defending. We're like the policemen to the world. What's going on is crazy. We are going to strengthen our military big league. By the way, it's the cheapest money you can spend. And we've got to pull back, because that is just a big mess. That's a revolution. That's a civil war. That's a religious war going over there. We're in the middle of it. For 15 years, we've been wasting time, killing lives. And I mean lives on both sides.
Mr. Trump, we're running out of time.
Hundreds of thousands, even millions of people have been killed because of horrible decision making.
I'll tell you, these candidates, they know, Scott, that if, while they got the airtime, they got to keep on going. And Chris Wallace, I mean, he's sitting there trying to get control of his own show, whether it's Donald Trump, and I don't know if you saw the Ted Cruz interview. I mean, he kept trying to get a question in, and it was a challenge, and bless his heart for trying to do so. The frustration I have with Donald Trump is that he's all about feature, but where's the benefit? You know, this is what the world goes around. He should know as a marketing guy. You know, people want to hear, what is the feature? Okay, give me the feature. Give me the benefit. Okay, we got a stronger military. What is the benefit for we the people? You know, what is it for, you know, against the current situation that's going on? He's just assuming people will understand, oh, we're going to have a big military. Well, what does that mean? That's the problem we had with Barack Obama. He gave us all these features, and he kind of left up the decision as to what the benefit would be, and look what we got, you know, and people going, oh, Meg, I didn't, this is not what I voted for, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sorry, I have two people talking to me at the moment.
But you're a multitasker. You can do this kind of stuff.
I know,
wait till you get married. When you get married, you're gonna love the day you only had two people talking to you at the same time.
Well,
did I say that out loud? I was only thinking it.
Yeah,
honey, I'm sorry. I was just kidding.
I'll order the flowers. I'll get them sent over to her.
I know Mother's Day's coming soon. I know. It's just hey, that's why they have Mother's Day, is to give us guys, the knuckleheads of the world, an opportunity to kind of just say, hey, really, you know, we're just it's our bent sense of humor. That's all it is. But, relevant to this situation here, what Donald Trump's talking about. And, of course, this conversation is heating up because here we got Indiana, and we're going to be talking about the tale of two Indianas coming up in just a moment. Because Indiana's, it's interesting, you know, because of the polling and the attitudes. As much as Trump, you got Trump and Bobby Knight on one hand, you've got Governor Pence and Ted Cruz on the other. Talk about contrast. Whoa. Well, stay with us. That conversation is going to be picked up right on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on, stop.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. We've got the primaries in Indiana, or I should say the primary of Indiana, happening tomorrow. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's quite the story when you see the footage. I was watching the footage over the weekend of Gary, Indiana, and what a blight. I mean, and as David Ferdosa is going to be on here in just a moment, a contributing editor for the Washington Examiner, New York Times bestselling author of Spin Masters, How the Media Ignored the Real News and Helped Re-Elect Barack Obama. We touched on that a little bit, but we're going to be here talking about kind of the dual personality of Indiana. When you consider, you know, Gary, and then you also take a look at Indianapolis, and you've got the Hoosier State rebounding from the 2008 recession to become a manufacturing and agricultural powerhouse once again. But then you go through and you see Gary and you go, what? You know, it's like a bomb has devastated Gary, Indiana. And so you see quite the contrast within this state. And this state is what is confusing people to say, well, is this going to be a Trump victory? Is it going to be a Cruz victory? What exactly is going on here? Well, David Ferdosa, let's talk to you, and maybe you can enlighten us and let us know about this split personality of this state that everybody has their eyes on for tomorrow night. How you doing, David?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you on. So break it down for us. You talk about the tale of two Indianas. What is it going to mean for this year's primary and the subsequent general election?
Well, you never know for sure, but I would say if there is one part of Indiana where Trump's message is more likely to resonate, it is probably in these rundown Rust Belt towns in the northwest corner of the state. So We're talking about Gary, Hammond, East Chicago, places where you still have people being laid off, places that are doing poorly, when in fact the rest of the state as a whole has been doing pretty well and has recovered from the recession faster than most other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. You've had very consistent and strong job creation since about 2010 in Indiana. Hoosiers hit the mark of the number of jobs they had before the crash. They hit that in 2014. The rest of the country hit it about a year later. So there's a you know, the data suggests that you have a state that's come back strong and has been prosperous and looks good. Indianapolis is a very well-governed city, and you know, very thriving suburban population down there too. But there are some parts of the state that just remind you sometimes the data are a bit misleading. And
exactly,
You know, the polling has been inconsistent, and no one's sure who's going to win here, but it's kind of, you have two, there are two different states here in Indiana, you could say almost.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, in Northwest, as you say, Northwest Indiana, you know, what happened? The question begs an answer. Why did they get left behind here with the development? I mean, you've got unemployment 70% higher than that of the state as a whole. What happened to Gary and the rest of the Northwest?
Well, those were areas that had invested very heavily in one industry towns. These are this is the classic story. In Detroit, it was the automakers. In South Bend, where I am now, and Trump is going to be today, there was also a big automaker, but they kind of survived it a little bit better by being more diversified. In Gary, it was the steel mills, and the Gary Works, the U.S. steel company, is the largest and still is today the largest integrated steel mill in North America. It used to be the largest in the world. In the 1970s, there were 30,000 people working there, and today those numbers have just shrunk to the vanishing point. It's kind of a sad story, but that's something that happened a very long time ago. This isn't recent history.
Right.
So the real answer to the question here is that these places, these jobs are not coming back. Although, I mean, we have one candidate in this race who will probably promise to bring them back, but they're not coming back, and there's no way to bring them back. And what few jobs there are left in a place like that, they're always under pressure and in danger because the steel industry in the U.S. is not a viable industry. It's being protected by government, but it's not an industry that's capable of surviving on its own. So, what you have there is just they've never gone and, turned themselves into anything different. They never diversified their economy. And, you know, and the weather in those places isn't very nice either. So people just don't go there.
Right. On top of it, just to make matters worse. But, you know, is it what you're suggesting here, David, is that because of government intervention and the policies, they've really blighted this area as they've had other areas across the country. There's been other, as you say, whether it's Detroit or other markets that were relying on, a single horse to ride on here, and that horse leaves town, and it looks like a ghost town.
No, that's right. You get a boom town, and then you get a big bust, and everything just kind of comes apart. So,
and they just like in shock, and
they're for decades. You have to remember, and so much of Trump's campaign is really just about nostalgia. There's nothing realistic about most of this stuff about bringing jobs back. A president just can't bring jobs back. That's ridiculous. But there's a lot of nostalgia and a feeling that things used to be better and should be better, and why can't they just be the way they were when I was growing up? And in places like Gary, people think maybe they don't live within the city limits today, but they think about what it must have been or what it was like back then when they were young, and it was a vibrant city, and they think of Trump as somebody who, then had a bunch of question marks, and suddenly it looks like it used to look.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So, that's the kind of competition, the belief in some kind of the ability to return to the past versus a real world situation where, this town was kind of left behind in economic history, and you feel that way when you drive across there's a time zone split in northern Indiana. When you drive across it toward Gary from the east, you start to feel like, oh, wow, look at all of this.
Yeah, what did you step into?
In the 1970s. You're under this gray sky. You see these big, enormous, hulking structures and, things that remind you of a past.
And that's what I believe that's what Gary and the Northwest is looking for, is new towers of the future and vision and help to help them get back on track, even though the rest of the state is doing well. I mean, you can't expect people from Gary just to transport to other parts of Indiana, although many have made that move already, no doubt. But if it's going to be revived, it's got to come under a new vision and an opportunity in which to exercise that vision with some sort of a level and fair playing field, that maybe the government can do something in a positive sort of way there. David Ferdoso, contributing editor for the Washington Examiner, has been with us. David, thank you so much. It's just about 15 after the top of the hour. Thank you.
This report is brought to you by Microsoft. If you're a small or medium-sized business in this fast-paced digital world, making sure you have the latest technology is essential. From increased revenue and security to employee collaboration and productivity, there are many benefits to upgrading your technology to the cloud. Office 365 and Windows 10 were built to provide strong ROI for businesses of all sizes. Cindy Bates, Vice President of U.S. SMB Microsoft.
With new stories in the press daily about the vulnerability of data for companies big and small, cybersecurity remains a top concern for America's small businesses. We encourage entrepreneurs to pay particular attention to how they safeguard their business. Investing in modern technology like Office 365 and Windows 10 devices offers small business owners continually updated security to help protect information vital to earning customers' trust.
For more information, visit www.microsoft.com/business.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Mother's Day is this week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 3434. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. With fresh flowers, guaranteed delivery, and add-ons to complete your gift, Pro Flowers has everything you need to be a gifting expert on Mother's Day. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You pick the delivery date, and it's guaranteed. 100 colorful blooms sent fresh from the fields and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days for $19.99, and will include a free glass vase. Hurry, Mother's Day is this week, and this incredible special expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 3434. That's proflowers.com, secret code 3434.
Shipping charges not included. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back.
You've woke up to the deception. You understand how big government and corporations are controlling you. Guess what? The trail goes even deeper. When you want to learn the full truth, visit toolsforfreedom.com. We take you further into uncovering the conspiracy than you've ever been before. Click toolsforfreedom.com. Use coupon code radio to get a free DVD today. Or call 800-770-8802. That's 800-770-8802. toolsforfreedom.com.
Martinez.
Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com is where you want to go. And take note here. We're going to have a rather interesting conversation called Finding Your Way Back to God. It's based on a book written by Dave Ferguson and John Ferguson. These are both pastors. Dave is with us right now, founding and lead pastor of Chicago's Community Christian Church, a multi-site church considered one of the most influential churches in America. John Ferguson is a founding pastor of Community Christian Church, a teaching pastor for their Chicago network, and a movement architect for New Thing, which is a whole other discussion. But in terms of finding your way back to God, I like what Pastor Rick Warren had to say, the founder of Saddleback Church, about the book. It says it's an irresistible invitation to an unforgettable experience. Dave Ferguson and John Ferguson have written a book that could change how our generation thinks about God and how we find him. Well, that's a powerful endorsement there, Dave Ferguson.
Rick was very kind with that, but we have some big dreams for this book.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, God inspired you. Dropped this, this golden nugget into the spirit of, you and John to write this book. I mean, I just sensed that it was like one of those books that, probably kept waking you up in the middle of the night and said, hey, look, I need to be written.
Yeah, really. I mean, for more than two decades now, for about 20 years, going back to when we first started Community Christian Church, our church's mission statement was helping people find their way back to God. And over the years, we've seen tremendous response across all of our locations in Chicago and now all of our New Thing churches globally. And got the opportunity to write this and have continued to see a remarkable response to it.
When you say finding your way back to God, I mean, this assumes that people at one point were connected with God, and now it is yours and John's job to reconnect them.
Yeah, I think both theologically and even demographically, that's still true in the United States and North America. Theologically, I think if we go back to Genesis, in the very beginning, we were all related to God, and then it was sin that separated us. And I think the rest of the biblical story and the story of history, which of course is his story, reminds us that everything God was doing was through the prophets and ultimately through Jesus, and it talks about that in Corinthians, the ministry of reconciliation, trying to draw us back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then
now
if you go to Gallup,
go ahead.
I say if you go to Gallup, the Gallup poll tells us 92% of the population still believe in God. They do give assent to him. They know that there is a God out there. They think they got a hunch, and they're really just, they don't know how to access him, how to connect him, or how to meet him.
Well, speaking of Gallup, I found it quite interesting last year when they came out with that survey that said, those that do not necessarily identify with the evangelical church today say, where is the church? I mean, it's almost like they're upset with the church for them not speaking out. They know that the moral compass of our society is broken, and they're looking for church to, lead them to some sort of redemptive connection.
I think you nailed it, Bill. I think one of the things where the church, and as a church leader, I take responsibility for this. I think we've made a mistake, is when we hear that the vast majority of Americans identify themselves as nuns, they have no religious affiliation. I think we have to understand when they're saying, I don't have any religious affiliation, they're not rejecting God. They're not even rejecting spirituality. What is actually happening with the vast majority of people in our country is they're in transition. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, no, I'm not going to just inherit the faith of my parents, but I'm going to investigate it for myself. Mm-hmm. And I think for those of us that are believers, this could be tremendously good news if we're there when they're investigating.
I got to tell you, for me, I went through that journey. And Dave, I'm grateful to God that he allowed me to go through that journey, that search. And I checked it out. During my era, probably before you were born, it was the Zen of motorcycle maintenance. Scientology, you name it. I went through the whole gamut, and I was born and raised a Catholic. And for me, what stopped me in my tracks, two particular books in the New Testament, first the book of John, secondarily because of my Catholic background, the book of Romans. And the book of Romans so much so that I could so solidly identify with Martin Luther, who I was told when I was going to Catholic school that he was such a heretic, and I'm going, hey, look, I want to be with him at the Wittenberg door. I'll hold the nail while he hammers the thesis on the door.
Well, and I think, you're a great case study, and what I'm seeing a number of those, too, of people, if we allow them to investigate, And God is true to his promise, which he says, if you seek me, you'll find me. Mm-hmm. I think all truth is God's truth. And I think we have to just really challenge people over and over again. Yeah, go ahead, doubt, investigate, explore, search for yourself, because God will bear himself out to be who he said he is.
Well, and the challenge, I think, sometimes is because when, as you say, these people who are looking for the truth and coming in, what they rejected is they rejected the way that, you know, the 21st century church today. There's something that is not relatable to them. And even young millennials who have maybe been involved with the church and just said, you know, this isn't for me. There's just, I don't know, you know, it seems blasé or maybe passé, just say, well, the church is in the business of playing church, not being church. I don't know if that's just the issue. All I know is that when you get these new people coming in, they feel like a round peg in a square hole. You know, they're not fitting into the, you know, the Christianese and the typical thing that we might feel comfortable in church about. I find it quite interesting that people will pray in the church, oh God, open up the doors, let's have people come in here, and they come in and then they get upset with them because they're sitting in their seat.
Yeah, that's absurd. I think when you talk about millennials in particular, I think the thing that they're looking for, and we ought to resonate with this, is they're not looking just for a proposition like, oh, here is a propositional truth, although it is true that way about mm-hmm. Jesus, about God. They're also looking for a relationship, an experience. In fact, I was reading something just this week. Pew Research just did some research, and they came out and said that 62% of the American population say every month they experience what they would call wonder. Mm-hmm. And that's actually significantly up just in the last 10 years. And so they're looking for an experience, I think, with a transcendent. I think the second thing they're also looking for is they're looking for a faith that actually engages the world and makes a difference in their neighborhood, in their community, and in the world.
Right.
And if you're right, if the church would kind of get off their butt and get back out in the neighborhood and out in the world and make a difference out there, I think that's a tremendous apologetic.
Well, they want to know, look, we got problems here in River City. We've got people want to line up bathroom options like crazy, you know, sex being redefined, marriage being redefined. We are in a wacky world right now. It's in a very confused state. And they want to know, where can I anchor? It's not just the millennials. I think it's anybody going to church. So where is the truth? What can I anchor on? You know, as you know, Dave, you know, the word says a people without vision will perish or cast off restraint. And that's where I see our society today, is that we've unanchored, we've untethered ourselves from that rock of truth. And as a result, we're all over the place. We don't even know how to, you know, really tell the difference between a lie and the truth. And when somebody is being a bozo, just to say, you know what? You're being a bozo, with all due respect.
Yeah, and one of the things that we do early in the book is we actually do something called a 30-day wager based on Blaise Pascal, you know, the famous mathematician,
right.
His wager. And we say, okay, just go ahead and pray this prayer for 30 days. God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. And we actually just, we keep it very simple. We give them 30 different ways to express that over 30 days. And if they'll just pray that for 30 days in a row, we believe that God will actually show up and make himself present in a way.
Yes.
And we've seen it happen over and over and over again.
And the thing is so cool, the way you and John did that, it's very simple. It's not into this Christianese kind of deal. It's just being normal. You know, just be yourself with God. God just wants you to communicate at your level. It's not about some special language here, thou, or whatever, you know? Right?
You're absolutely right about that. I mean, I think another apologetic, both, and I would agree with you, it's not just millennials. I think people in general, they want mm-hmm. authenticity.
Exactly.
Tell me where you've screwed up. Tell me where God's made a difference. Tell me how he can help me in plain language. Just shoot straight with me.
Exactly. Finding your way back to God. 5 awakenings to your new life. We couldn't even get into the 5 awakenings. You could tell this is a topic that is really exercisable and one. It's a great discipleship book. I agree with Pastor Rick Warren on that. Dave, congratulations to you and John. This book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Finding your way back to God. It's just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
This report is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. According to the SBA Office of Advocacy, more than half of our nation's workforce own or are employed by a small business, and 2 out of every 3 new jobs are being created by small businesses. For many families across our country, owning their own successful small business is the realization of their American dream. Kala Gibson, head of business banking for Fifth Third Bank.
Fifth Third is committed to helping these small businesses grow and succeed. Last year, Fifth Third Bank loaned more than $2 billion to small businesses throughout our footprint. In many cases, those loans supported the manufacturing of new products, the delivery of new services, and the creation of new jobs. During Small Business Week and all year long, we appreciate and celebrate businesses like yours.
For more information, visit www.53.com/business. Loan subject to credit review and approval. Fifth Third Bank, member FDIC.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Someone has to stand up and say it. Bill Martinez live.
He's fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine.
Lord, we need an army of believers. Raise up warriors who will fight on their knees. Lord, call us to battle. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
Keep fighting the good fight.
Martinez live.
I'll tell you, every time I hear that cry, it just puts chills up and down my spine. I don't know. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. We're, you know, coming into the National Day of Prayer, which will take place on the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, on Thursday. And I hope you will find a place to join the forces across America as people join their hearts, their hands, their spirits in accord to get in line with what God has planned and purposed for this country. It's most incredible. And by the way, in honor of that, we're going to be giving away the movie War Room. So we got some movies to give away. And we're going to do just like we did for Climate Hustle, the movie. Send me an email. Say, Martinez, put me in that, put me in the hopper there. I want my name in the hopper. I want a shot at the free War Room movie. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Just send me an email. We'll put you in there in the mix. And we're going to have a drawing, and hopefully you're the big winner, chicken dinner for War Room, the movie, all in honor of this year's National Day of Prayer. Lou Vickery is with us right now, former professional baseball player, over a 10-year career, played with the St. Louis Cardinals, New York Yankees organization, coached a year in the Cincinnati Reds organization. You know, what I love about athletes, and of course, I was born and raised, came from a baseball family, it's just we have a rather, you know, interesting perspective. Some would say a demented sense of humor. I just say, hey, look, it's a sense of humor when you're around, a bunch of jocks or jockettes. There's just some real special Lou Vickery about being around baseball players, isn't there?
It really is. Bill, thank you for having me. I just want to mention one thing about the Day of Prayer, National Day of Prayer.
we get together as a group and we all read a section of the Bible. We read the whole Bible at the same time at our National Day of Prayer.
That's great. Well, awesome. Well, that's what we need. We need people. And every time, you know, Lou, I hear, you know, from that movie War Room, and I hear Abercrombie, you know, just going, you know, Miss Clara, the voice of Miss Clara in that movie, you know, raise them up, Lord, raise them up. And boy, if there was ever a time that America needed, you know, praying soldiers to be raised up, it is for a time such as this, isn't it, Lou?
Amen. I certainly agree with that.
Well, I was telling you, I'm a stone's throw from, you know, the Mets double-A baseball team here in Port St. Lucie. And I was telling you that it was driving me crazy the last time I went to one of their games. They gave up some unnecessary runs because they cannot hit the cutoff man. And I'm yelling at the manager, hit the cutoff man. I mean, come on, this is Little League 101, right? Right, Lou?
Well, amen. And you know what happens with a lot of times in the minor leagues? When you fail to do those kind of things, you have workouts the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of typical of the way the minor leagues run it. You don't do the major leagues that way, even though they are prone to miss the cutoff man, too. Bill, it just real make sure the customers, our listeners, understand what the cutoff man is.
Yes.
That's when a ball goes through the gap and the shortstop or the second baseman, depends on which side of the field, goes out into either short left center or short right center and receives a throw from the outfielder, then he turns and makes the play at the appropriate base. But that's a play that you can, over a course of 162-game season, I guarantee you, you'll lose three or four ball games because somebody failed to miss or hit a cutoff man.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just it's academic. It's one of those things they practice, you know, during spring training. It's just one of the basics of baseball. And when you mess those things up and you give up unnecessary runs, it makes guys like me go crazy.
You can imagine a purist like I am what it's like.
Exactly. Well, hey, let's talk. Can we talk a little bit about Chicago baseball? You said you wanted to, because we're going to talk about A Touch of Gray, growing up in the segregated South, your new book. I mean, we're talking, you know, we're talking sports here, and I think people would be a little bit surprised that you're an author. I mean, you've written 12 books. And your latest book, A Touch of Gray, which is your first novel, which we're going to get into in just a moment. But I want to, you know, finish up a little bit of, a little baseball reverie here between you and me.
Well, I officed in Chicago for a couple of years. And going out to Wrigley was all, that was a lunchtime.
Oh,
you know, those days,
yeah.
All the games were in the daytime. But isn't it exciting to see both the White Sox and the Cubs doing well? White Sox are 18-8 on the year, first place in the Central Division. Chris Sale, by the way, yesterday won his sixth game. Now, can you imagine that in the first month of the season, he already won six ball games? He's well on his way to being a 20-plus game winner. And big tall left-hander from Florida, by the way.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, exactly. A good boy. Let's keep him healthy, okay? Let's get him through the season, huh?
Yeah.
How about that?
Big Ten kid, but the Cubs look like a potential playoff team and very well could win it all. They lost yesterday to the lowly Braves, but they're still have an excellent season underway. And but two teams right now that I thought would be playing pretty good baseball is my old Yankees. They're 8-15, Bill, and the across town, the Mets are. They lost yesterday, but they have to win in eight straight, so they are certainly a potential playoff team. And the Houston Astros, a little bit surprised by how poorly they're played, but they have played so far. But we're only, 25, 26 games into the season, so it's going to be fun. I think Major League Baseball this year, Bill, is going to have a lot of parity. Right now, we got 12 teams that only 12 teams above 500. But there are 11 other teams within two games of 500.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a great year for professional baseball.
Major. Well, Lou, there's a lot of peanuts, Cracker Jacks, hot dogs still available. Although, didn't you find it quite interesting the way the food offerings have evolved? I mean, you think we're coming to some of these, you know, state carnivals or something. I mean, you got fried everything. I mean, the concoctions they're coming up with in some of these ballparks. I mean, I get full just with the smells. I don't even have to eat anything.
That's true. And you ought to see the clubhouse, what they offer the players.
Really? What are they? How do they look? I mean, you remember in the old days, I mean, they always used to talk, I say old days because, you know, you read about it, how Babe Ruth would eat a hot dog in the dugout. I mean, God, what would they offer him today, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the kind of food they put to spread out at the clubhouse is unbelievable. But they're supposed to do that after the game and not before. But
right.
Believe me, there's a few guys sneaking in out of that dugout. Have a nice snack, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, they're the official tasters. They just want to make sure everything's okay, you know, for the big money players, you know, so they don't get sick, right?
That's right, absolutely.
Well, you know, Lou, one of the, you know, being only because we're just having fun talking about the sport here, and I grew up, as I told you, we came from a baseball family. There were 10 kids in the family. My dad played baseball. He coached us through Legion and, you know, American Legion ball and that. And we just had the time of our lives. So baseball was a big part of breakfast, lunch, and dinner whenever we were together. We talked about these things. And but you know, to see what has happened to the sport and how, you know, I think for the everyday family, the access to baseball anymore, you know, to be able to go and see a live baseball game, it has just gotten to be so expensive, Lou. I mean, I, you know, go ahead.
I agree. I don't, and Bill, if it wasn't the TV, the TV rights, I don't think baseball could make it. But the fact of the matter is, I took my two grandboys with me, went to see a Brave game, and it cost us a little over $300. So
yeah.
Tell me about it. So
that's what it is. I'm telling people $300-$400. You know, for you go for a family of four, and then they go, "Hey, Dad, can I have a pennant? Can I get a souvenir?" You're going,
yeah.
"Well, let me go to the ATM first." You know, and here you are. And that's the third trip to the ATM because you just can't have a hot dog anymore. You got to have that 5-layer special hamburger with God only knows what kind of something that looks kind of like an onion ring or you know some origami thing that they put on top of it. I don't know. It's all kind of an experience these days, right? Hey, Lou, we're going to talk about your new book on the other side of the break. Stay with us. It's 19 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you live.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro 1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This report is brought to you by Welltower. Every 66 seconds, someone is diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. It's the sixth leading cause of death in America and cannot be prevented or cured. The human and financial toll is devastating. On May 6th, the Alzheimer's Association is hosting its Brain Ball. Influential leaders will come together to raise awareness of this disease and raise funds for cutting-edge research and critical support services for individuals and their caregivers. Tom DeRosa, CEO of Welltower, the national honoree at this year's Brain Ball.
There is currently no cure for Alzheimer's, which is why it's so important to offer care to those with Alzheimer's and support for their families. This should be a national priority. On behalf of Welltower and our partners, I ask you to support the Alzheimer's Association, which is working hard every day to fight this terrible disease.
For more information, visit ALZ.org.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply nitrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Again, 855-305-8326.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Bad news, Americans. You're probably stockpiling for a disaster all wrong. When the big one comes, you'll need more than that poisonous, over-salted survival food you now see everywhere. There are three vital things that your survival food is missing, and it's the first thing to disappear from grocery stores. Go to superfoodradio.com now to see my story of how I nearly died when I was forced to live on a popular survival food. That's superfoodradio.com, and I'll show you how everything you've been told about survival food is dead wrong. Go to superfoodradio.com now.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
When I met you in the summer.
Hey, that'd be me, 14 before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Lou Vickery is with us, former professional baseball player, over a 10-year career, played with the St. Louis Cardinals, New York Yankees. He's also a radio talk show host. As you can tell, he has a lot of fun, and we're going to be talking about his latest book. He's actually written 12 books. This is his first novel, Touch of Gray, Growing Up in the Segregated South. Lou, but before we go and talk about your book, one more deal. I mean, one of the things I always appreciate about people in sports is they always have their favorite baseball story. You got to tell me your favorite baseball story.
Oh, well, let me.
And tell me. Make sure it's one we can tell the kids. Okay. All right.
Oh yeah. This was a great one. In fact, the Sporting News once said I set a record by getting hit in the head with a baseball in more different ways than anybody in history. 11 different ways, but I won't tell you about one of them. I was a starting pitcher, and I wrote a baseball book a number of years ago called Answers to Baseball's Most Asked Questions. And in that, Bill, one of the questions relates to what do they call it when the pitcher gets knocked out during the course of an inning, you know, when the manager comes, takes him out of the game.
Right.
And you call that get knocked out of the box. Mm-hmm. So that's the term they've used throughout history. So I got knocked out of the box I don't remember if I even got anyone out. But the manager comes out and tells me just, you know, go take a shower. So in the old ballpark in Atlanta, you had to go down past first base, go under the stands to the dressing room. And mm-hmm. the fans are telling me just how good I am. So my
of course.
Seems to about snail pace off the ground. Mm-hmm. Well, I go to the dressing room. I get dressed. I think, okay, let me go back. I check the scoreboard. So I walk down to the end of the runway, and the only thing above ground is my head. And there's a line drive foul ball. I heard the crack of the bat. I looked, and the ball's coming right at me, Bill, and it hit me squarely between the eyes.
My God.
So a bad night just got worse. I'm down for the count. And they call the ambulance. They carry me over to Grady Hospital. They checked me out over there. They found out what my mother already knew. I had a hard head. But the interesting thing, the headlines of the sports page the next day say, Vickery knocked out twice. Now, the interesting part was the subhead and said, X-rays of head showed nothing. So I've used that all these years. That's a built-in excuse.
If anybody with nothing in their head can be as successful as you are, then nobody else has an excuse, right, Lou?
That's a nice way to put it. Thank you.
Well, why not? Hey, well, speaking of Atlanta, you said that this novel has been 50 years a lifetime for you, that the genesis of this book started when you were in Atlanta.
That's right. I made my first notes. Bill, I grew up in the segregated South. I grew up in a small community in South Alabama. And there are a lot of stories surrounding my childhood about a relationship between the blacks and the whites. Mm-hmm. And a young man that we call in the book Tater, and a mm-hmm. He was black, and another young kid named Victor turn out to be best friends. They live 100 yards apart on a farm. Tater's mother, and he got the name Tater because he loves sweet potato pie.
Right.
And his mother.
Don't you love the South? Don't you love the South nicknames? I mean, they're better than baseball nicknames. I mean, Tater.
Oh, man.
I love the South for the nicknames. I mean, how can you not be endeared when you are nicknamed by somebody in the South?
That's it. And, you know, then most of the names in those days were double names, too, as mm-hmm. far, you know, Joe Bill and Billy Ray.
Yes, right.
So we were able to catch it. But while I was in Atlanta was a city really struggling, trying to come through the segregated era at that time, and was very successful in doing it, by the way. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of Dr. Martin Luther King's stint. And I really felt like that this was a story to be told. So I made my first notes. But Bill, I bought into the bill of goods that athletes don't write books unless they're about sports or their exploits, you know, and that type of thing. They don't write a book like this. So I put my notes aside, and then I found out, some 18 years ago that I had leukemia. And my doctor told me, and I can remember distinctly what he said, "Mr. Vickery, if there's something that you want to do, now's the time to do it." And so I started back writing the book. Then I got involved in doing a number of other books, some of them spiritual, some of them motivational. And I just set it aside. But then I decided some 2 years ago, I got to finish this book. It is a part of me. And Bill, I must tell you that the reaction has been superb so far. We've only been out a week with it. Just as an e-book, the print book will be out sometime toward the end of this month. So we're really excited about the prospects of it.
Now, why did you name this, the title of the book, A Touch of Gray, Growing Up in the Segregated South? I mean, you know, A Touch of Gray. The title seems that there's a whole story just behind that.
Yeah, there really is. And because it really is about the fact, and let me... we're talking about here two young boys and a small supporting cast of their families, everyday heroes, if you will, who face life with an attitude to survive and to prosper, but who for a moment in time understood the importance of painting life with a touch of gray, which is the coming together of black and white.
Mm-hmm. And here it is. I mean, that's quite revolutionary for you as you're thinking about this, because this has been a question, you know, since the Civil War that we've been wrestling with here, Lou. And I ask that question every day. I go, look at, kind of in a Rodney King sort of way, you know, why can't we get along? Why do we keep holding on to all this bitterness that holds us back? I mean, you know, you see, many blacks today are on the other side of that transition. But still, there are some, and admittedly, I'm saying it's both sides. It's kind of a bell curve here. It's not just, you know, a blacks issue. There's a white issue as well that wants to, you know, somehow, you know, claim and hold on to that contention and that stuff that doesn't bring us together. It just separates us and causes us to even fall shorter than, what we're already falling.
You know, Bill, I wrote this book with the idea that it wouldn't be a story about being black or white, although the difference is evident throughout the book. It's a story about the risk of reaching out, if you will, and looking beyond the color of one's skin to find a real person within. And so it's a bond for life friendship between two individuals that happen to be of different colors. And the story is really a Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer's type storyline. Because these two youngsters, all the stuff they get into, it is really some fun, the stuff that they do, and they have a big time together. But then the culture, the nature of the culture itself caught up with them when they get into their early teens. You know, they go to separate churches, they attend separate schools. You have the, you know, your restrooms are different. You go to the movie theater. The blacks sit upstairs, the blacks sit downstairs. Even the drive-in theater in those days, Bill, was segregated. I mean, the blacks had to park the cars over here, whites over here. They had separate facilities even at the drive-in theater. So it was and all public buildings, obviously, were that way. So it was very, very difficult era to have two youngsters or two anybody of different colors being really close friends.
You know, along this line, Lou, I don't know if you saw this or not. A couple weeks back, we have Samantha Mills, who comes reports every week, you know, viral videos. And I don't know if you saw this, but there was a precious picture that somebody had taken of a black and white girl at nap time, just lying there sleeping, holding each other's hand. Obviously, they were you could tell they were friends. And this picture went absolutely viral. And it reminds me of Victor and Tater, as you said, when they were growing up. They didn't know prejudice. They didn't know difference. It was just, you know, it was the very thing that Martin Luther King talked about, not being you know, judged by the color of your skin, but by the content of your character. And there's just something about young people that can look beyond that stuff, and what they see is the purity of a person, the fact that we're in this journey together. And we can have some fun along the way. And to me, you know, that's, I guess, why I relate so well to sports. Because, you know, raised in sports and as an athlete, you know, we didn't deal with a lot of prejudice. It was just like, hey, look, could you hit the ball? Could you field it?
That's right.
Could you hit the cutoff, man? You know, hey, if you can do that, I mean, you're on the team, man. Hey, your color's the same as mine. We got the same jersey. We're part of the home team here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing, the first time I went to spring training with the Cardinals, we had segregated facilities at St. Pete. We had three members of the team were black, and they had to stay at a separate facility. And that, it was something else that really, it just kind of ignited, if you will, Bill, this thing that it was in my heart. I just had to get it out, you know. It took me so long to do it, but it just had to be, it was a story that I felt like needed to be told.
Well, Lou, I know people are going to be blessed because you give people who were not grown, you know, were not raised in a segregated South, didn't necessarily, you know, see it so overtly. And this is going to be an eye-opener for them, isn't it?
It really is. And I've had several that I've already gotten comments from in Iowa, from some of my friends up in the Chicago area. So, Bill, it really, I think it's a, if you want to understand what it was like to live in that particular era in the South, and it is a great read because it gives a very vivid description of what it was like.
Well, congratulations on the book, your 12th, the first novel for Lou Vickery. Yes, jocks can write, and he's got an excellent style. You're going to love this book. It's available at all the usual places, right, Lou?
Well, right now we got the e-book available at Amazon, but we have a pre-order, a special deal at my website, Bill, with the print book, which will be out shortly, and then it will be at all the various locations.
Okay, your website, really quick. Your website?
That's LouVickeryBooks.com. LouVickeryBooks.com. And they can order their autographed copy. We appreciate it.
Awesome. There it is.
Thank you so very much.
Hey, Lou, God's bless for you, man. God's blessings and his best for you. I appreciate you being with us. This is Bill Martinez live.
This is it. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. With Wall Street suffering its worst start to a trading year in history, now is especially the time to be paying attention to gold. This first time ever, U.S. legal tender government gold offered at cost for only $139 each is from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call them at 1-866-944-GOLD. Gold is on the move, so don't miss out. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book. Get your free gold book, your free half dollar, but most importantly, get your gold at cost for only $139 per coin. 1-866-944-GOLD.